very own Free Radio Asheville programmer, Peck. Where, I am not sure. But if you're able to find one, you're probably the kind of person we're looking for. The type that has their antenna tuned to the liberated airwaves, their mind open to new ideas, their awareness intensely open for the best of independent music and politics. This is so laid back. I should take Zoloft and then rap on this. Hello, you're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and vice versa. Proof that you can get rich through time traveling space exploration.
It was a conspiracy that plotted the betrayal of West Point by Benedict Arnold during the American Revolution. It was a conspiracy that led John Wilkes Booth to the assassination of President Lincoln on Good Friday, 1865. The past record of man is burdened with accounts of assassinations, secret combines, palace plots, and betrayals in war. The tenet of conspiracy has been a dominant force in all history. But in spite of this clear record, an amazing number of people have begun to scoff at the possibility of conspiracy at work today. They dismiss such an idea merely as a conspiratorial view of history. The purpose of this presentation is to show that the conspiratorial view of history, particularly of recent history, is the correct view. That there is a secret and powerful combine at work today. That it constitutes the unseen government of the United States. And that it properly can be identified as the capitalist conspiracy.
Did the aliens save the planet in 1908? Russian scientists say they have found debris. Debris, even. From a meteorite crash in 1908 that contains remnants of an extraterrestrial spacecraft. This is being reported on WorldNetDaily.com. And if you know anything about WorldNet Daily, they're conservative, but they're not kooky. The object appeared to be a large metallic block, according to reports. The researchers chipped off a piece of the object and will now test its composition. There was a massive explosion near the Tunguska River in Siberia in 1908. The blast felled an estimated 60 million trees over 2,150 square kilometers, and it was registered in seismographic laboratories in the United States at the Smithsonian Mount Wilson. Yuri Labvin, one of the scientists working on the project, said, "I am fully confident, and I can make an official statement, that we were saved by some forces of a superior civilization." So, thank you, aliens, for preserving the planet Earth.
These are not the same as the local commercial bankers with whom we deal in everyday life. International bankers deal not with the general public, but with the industrial giants of the world, with other financial institutions, and especially with governments. The key to their success has been to control and manipulate the money system of a nation, while letting it appear to be controlled by the government. The net effect is to create money out of nothing, lend it to the government, and then collect interest on it. A profitable transaction, to say the least. For example, in 1664, international banker William Paterson obtained the charter of the Bank of England, and the power over England's money system fell into private hands. In a boastful mood, Paterson said, The bank hath benefit of interest on all monies which creates out of nothing. 230 years later, Reginald Messina, British ambassador of the exchequer, said,
"Well, I know Howdy. Yeah, but, you know, the kids never have a chance to vote for anybody. Well, I know Howdy, but you see, you have to be over 21 to vote. Yeah, well, that's not fair, so that's why I'm just running for president of the kids. Oh, I see. Well, now, that's a very good idea.
I suppose that you've heard
one
that I'm
centered in New York,
running
was
against
headed
Howdy Doody, the president of all the kids.
And the other, in Ohio, was headed by the Rockefeller Center. When these two cooperated, as they generally did, they could influence the economic life of the country to a large degree and could almost control its political life, at least on the federal level. In the United States, it was inevitable that the international banking interests would attempt to establish the same kind of private monopoly over the money system that they had achieved in England, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. The same formula would be used. Make it look like a government operation, but keep the control in private hands.
An enlightened leadership for
John D. Rockefeller had purchased
the
Chase Bank, and his brother William bought the National City Bank of New York. The Rockefeller Chase Bank was later merged with the Warburg's Manhattan Bank to form the Chase Manhattan, one of the most powerful financial combines in the world today.
Such a great president.
Acting in concert with the Morgan banking dynasty, they spent untold millions of dollars to promote legislation that would grant to them a private franchise over this nation's money system. To sell this scheme to the voters, the monopolists created the propaganda line that the proposed banking law somehow would work against the monopoly. Politicians took up the cry, banking reform, and down with Wall Street.
Howdy doody for president, I'm the one man bank.
So stay awake. Mental illness as a technology and vice versa.
Fear rose at the sound of someone creeping into the house. Then I saw it was a young artilleryman, weary, streaked with blood and dirt.
Anyone here?
Come in. Here, drink this.
Thank you.
What's happened?
They wiped us out. Hundreds dead, maybe thousands.
The heat ray?
The Martians. They were inside the hoods of machines they'd made. Metal things on legs, giant machines that walked. They attacked us. They wiped us out. Fighting machines, picking up men and bashing them against trees. Just hung.
Get ready for possible.
There was another cylinder came last night.
Yes, as it looked bound for London.
London? Carrie. I hadn't dreamed there could be danger to Carrie and her father so many miles away. I must go to London at once.
And me. Got to report to headquarters, if there's anything left of it.
We came upon an inn, but it was deserted.
Is everybody dead?
Not everybody. Look, six cannons with gunners standing by.
Bows and arrows against the lightning. They haven't seen the heat ray yet.
We hurried along the road to Braybridge. Suddenly, there was a heavy explosion. The ground heaved, windows shattered, and gusts of smoke erupted into the air.
Look! There they are! What did I tell you?
Quickly, one after the other, four of the fighting machines appeared. Monstrous tripods, higher than the tallest steeple, striding over the pine trees and smashing them. Walking engines of glittering metal, each carried a huge funnel, and I realized with horror that I'd seen this awful thing before. On the far bank. It raised itself to full height, flourished the funnel high in the air, and the ghostly, terrible heat ray struck the town. As it struck, all five fighting machines exulted, emitting deafening howls which roared like thunder. We had seen now fired simultaneously, decapitating a fighting machine. The Martian inside the hood was slain, splashed to the four winds, and the body, nothing now but an intricate device of metal, went whirling to destruction. As the other monsters advanced, people ran away blindly, the artillerymen among them. But I jumped into the water and hid until forced up to breathe. Now the guns spoke again, but this time the heat ray sent them to oblivion. White flash, the heat ray swept across the river. Scalded, half blinded and agonized, I staggered through leaping, hissing water towards the shore. I fell helplessly in full sight of the Martians, expecting nothing but death. The foot of a fighting machine came down close to my head, then lifted again as the four Martians carried away the debris of their fallen comrade. And I realized that by a miracle, I had escaped.
Business newspaper, the London Financial Times, describes it as a de facto world government with its own institutions, the IMF, the World Bank, the New World Trade Organization, the GATT, the G7 executive branches in the seven rich countries. That's a kind of a framework of world government, what they call a de facto world government, that increase that also operates very remotely. Secret, without scrutiny, without accountability. Its primary constituents are, in fact, precisely the transnational corporations and financial institutions, and it reflects their interests. The new trade agreements, a rather misleading term in my opinion, but the trade agreements are accelerating this transfer of effective power to these absolutist, unaccountable institutions, now on a vast scale. Corporations themselves are absolutist institutions. Power lies in the hands of owners and managers. The only debate is about how that's how you divvy out the shares. Debate literature about that. There's a fairly strict authority.
My man Noam Chomsky. What up, gangsta? The New Order of World Government, from one of his lectures. Noam Chomsky, professor of linguistics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and one of the world's leading authorities on the use of force and coercion by governments and corporations. Before that, we had the Artillerymen and the Fighting Machine off of the War of the Worlds LP. The music for that was done by Jeff Wayne from the Moody Blues, and it's a really, really, if you're into science fiction and you're into sort of creative synthesizer and funk arrangements, that's a good album to dig into. War of the Worlds, that track was called The Artillerymen and the Fighting Machine. Tonight's theme for mental illness as a technology and vice versa, time travel is possible, electrochemical kaboom radio, is utopia and dystopia and the possibility of each.
Those who need such symbols to keep their positions of wealth and privilege, look at Larry. I mean, Herp could be dangerous. That's right, we got a good strong thing here, why muck about with it? Well, the whole stinking thing could blow up in our faces. Brings on my ulcers to think about it. We could organize Herp. That way we'd be ready to jump in either direction. The word that made a man out of an ape and killed the ape in the process keeps man an animal the way we like to see him. And the queen is just another prop to hold up the word. You all know what we can do with the word. Talk about the power in an atom. All hate, all fear, all pain, all death, all sex is in the word. The word was a killer virus once. It could become a killer virus again. The word is too hot to handle. So we sit on our ass waiting for the pension. But somebody is going to pick up that virus and use it. Virus B23. We got this shine school back with Che Guevara in the 19th century set. Is that right? And you got the tiddlywink school too. You can cool anybody else who gets ideas. You gonna cool this powder keg with your moth-eaten queen? I tell you, anybody could turn it loose. You all know how basically simple it is. Sex word and image cut in with death word and image. Yeah, we could do it. What about Washington, our orders? Just one test tube and sput. What Washington? What orders?
Yes, yes. You're listening to Free Radio Asheville 107.5 FM.
Tycoon publicly pretended to oppose the measure. All the while, on December 27, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act finally was passed into law. Something known as the Federal Reserve System came into being, and with it, total control of the nation's money fell into private hands.
Do they mean the record of losing our friends in Eastern Europe?
The Federal Reserve System. So
do they mean the loss of 700 million human beings to the communist
the
slave world, in spite of our thousands of casualties and billions of dollars?
The far greater amount of checkbook money is also determined by this group.
It would seem to me, my friends, that the Republican critics
and
could better demonstrate
the
good faith of their concern for Asia by doing something about India.
The stock of the Federal Reserve
and I mean doing something about India today, rather than talking about China yesterday.
These, in turn, are owned primarily by the private banking dynasties that worked so hard to bring that system into being. By law, the seven members of the Federal Reserve Board are appointed by the President for a term of 14 years each. In spite of the incredible length of these appointments, nevertheless, they're supposed to create the illusion that the people, acting through their elected leaders, have some voice in the nation's monetary policies. In practice, however, every president since the beginning of the Federal Reserve System has appointed only those men who were congenial to the financial interests of the international banking dynasty. There have been no exceptions. It is now known that the original Federal Reserve Board was handpicked by Colonel Edward Mandel House, who early in his career had represented
Boys
British and
girls,
American banking interests.
The, honor
the intimate papers of Colonel House, edited by Charles Seymour, reveal House
dead,
as the unseen guardian
you,
angel of the Federal Reserve System. In the words of Mr. Seymour, the Schitt, the Warburg, the Kahns, the Rockefellers, and the Morgans had faith in House. In 1912, Colonel House authored
so
this book entitled Philip Drew Administrator. The hero, a thinly disguised version of himself in real life, was a behind-the-scenes manipulator of prominent political figures. In the disguised form of a novel, the book lays bare the general strategy that has been followed ever since, even to the very present. It tells of how a small group of insiders cause a discussion, and then bring about the election of a man named Rockland. Rockland gives fireside chats and launches a program called the New Era to strengthen government control over the masses. Eventually, the insiders who control the government weaken the country deliberately to the point of civil war, which provides them with the excuse for establishing a dictatorship under Philip Drew. Colonel House was the man who selected Woodrow Wilson as a presidential candidate and later became his principal advisor. Wilson was totally dependent on House for all political decisions. He was his alter ego. The president himself had written, "Mr. House is my second personality. He is my independent self. His thoughts and mine are one. If I were in his place, I would do just as he suggested." When the federal government goes into debt, it borrows that money from the Federal Reserve System. The national debt presently is at the $400 billion. Just to pay the interest on this debt, taxpayers are forced to contribute over $20 billion every year. Every year, $20 billion every year, every year. And remember, that is interest on money created out of nothing. Out of nothing, 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 created out of nothing, of nothing, out of nothing. At national convention time, $20 billion can determine far more politics than all the shouting and placard waving and brass bands combined. And one can only imagine the economic and political pressures that are brought to bear on a candidate seeking public office. Pressures and commitments to make sure that if elected,
well, girls,
the new president will make the correct appointment, not only to the Federal Reserve
so
Board, but also to ambassadorial posts, government agencies, the cabinet, and even the Supreme Court. This is why, through the years, administrations change, party labels change, but major policies do not. In 1870, a wealthy British socialist by the name of John Ruskin was appointed as professor of fine arts at Oxford University in London. He taught his students that the state must take control of the means of production and organize them for the good of the community as a whole. But he advocated placing control of the state into the hands of a single dictator. He said, "My continual aim has been to show the eternal superiority of some men to others. Sometimes even of one man to all of us." Dr. Quigley tells us, Ruskin spoke to the Oxford undergraduates as members of the privileged ruling class. He told them that they were the possessors of a magnificent tradition of education, beauty, rule of law, freedom, decency, and self-discipline. But that this tradition could not be saved unless it could be extended to the lower classes in England itself, and to the non-English masses throughout the world. Ruskin's message had a sensational impact. His inaugural lecture was copied out in longhand by one undergraduate, Cecil Rhodes, who kept it with him for 30 years. Cecil Rhodes made one of the world's greatest fortunes. With help from international bankers, he was able to establish a virtual monopoly over all the diamonds that came from South Africa, and most of the gold as well. Throughout his entire life, Cecil Rhodes spent most of his vast income to promote the ruling class ideas of John Ruskin. Many people are familiar with the world-famous Rhodes Scholarships, which were established to promote the less controversial aspects of John Ruskin's dream. But very few are familiar with the fact that in 1891, Cecil Rhodes established a secret society to promote the rest of that dream.
Privacy questions arise as RFID hits stores. This is by Allery Gilbert, staff writer at CNetNews.com. It's happened so backdoor that unless you're one of the aluminum foil heads who reads Infowars.com three or four times a day, you may not have heard of this, but it's a technology called radio frequency identification. And what it is it's actually little microchips that are placed into products that people buy, like clothes, soft drinks, things like that. And once it's implanted, theoretically, The corporations say that, of course, it would never be used for this. But theoretically, they can track it indefinitely. The 1984 nightmare scenario for this is that you could have a soda can laying by the side of the road, and they could run the RFID identification, figure out who bought the soda can, and then charge that person for littering, or things of that nature. Dateline, Baltimore, October 4th, 2004. Proponents of radio frequency identification used to have a quick and easy response to consumer advocates charging that the technology posed an alarming threat to privacy. Walmart stores, Procter & Gamble, and other big companies pushing the electronic tracking tags said they'd use them only in warehouses to more easily locate and account for stock arriving in cases and pallets. By the time the merchandise hit store shelves, they'd have removed the tags. The placement of tags on items consumers actually take home was projected to be at least 10 years away, last year's argument went. Some said it may never happen if costs remain prohibitive. But widespread item-level tagging may actually happen much sooner. More a question of when, not if. Discussions here at radio frequency identification conference indicate. Pharmaceutical companies are gearing up to slap tags on individual packages of certain prescription drugs within the next 3 years, under a mandate from the Federal and Food and Drug Administration, according to executives in that industry speaking at the week's conference. Retailers don't have such a mandate, but are tiptoeing that direction anyway. A Walmart store in Dallas is already selling Hewlett-Packard printers and scanners with RFID tags on their boxes, said Elizabeth Board, executive director of the Public Policy Steering Committee for EPC Global, organizer of the EPC Global U.S. Conference 2004 trade show. EPC stands for Electronic Product Code, a new product numbering system linked to RFID that could someday replace the less precise barcode systems. Though relatively rare today, RFID tags are marching towards stores and shopping baskets across the country, raising questions about the implications for consumers. Also experimenting with RFID are Albertsons, Best Buy, Target, as well as European chains Metro and Tesco. There is a concern that EPC tags can be tracked everywhere, and that retailers want to track you at all times of the day. Board, who joined the ECP Global in April to lead the group's lobbying efforts, said during a panel discussion, "It's not realistic." Oh, of course not. But it has caused a lot of confusion. Through an EPC code, a one-of-a-kind serial number, RFID tags can also store a wealth of information about the item with which it's associated, including where it's been, who brought it, who bought it, and when. Privacy activists worry that consumers could leave stores broadcasting all kinds of information about their belongings. They fear that anyone with the right tools could detect what's in your purse or pockets. Another concern is that people's things would leave an electronic trail, I can't read tonight, of their whereabouts and shopping habits for law enforcement officials, investigators, lawyers, or marketers to collect. I hope that scares you as much as it does me. If you want to do some more research, do a Google search for RFID, radio frequency identification. Not to be confused with FRA, Free Radio Asheville 107.5 FM, to which you are currently tuned, and hope that you will keep it locked on the dial here for the next.
Fortunately, the boys knew what to do and worked from other locations.
Whether it's a natural disaster or...
Getting freedom! Freedom! Freedom!
Here is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. See, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello. Or to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. Well, first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say, I'll jump the boogie to the bang, bang. You don't stop, got the rhythm, I'll make your body rock. Well, so far you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out, I'm the C-A-S and the O-V-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix. These reasons I'll tell you why. I'm 6'1" and I'm tall to fun, and I kiss to a T.
I got more clues than Muhammad Ali and I dress so viciously. I got bodyguards, I got two big bombs, I definitely ain't the work. I got a big continental and some new Cadillac. So after school I take a dip in the pool, which is really on the wall. I got a color TV so I can see the Knicks play basketball. Hear me talking my checkbook, could it cost more money than a sucker could ever spend? But I wouldn't give a sucker or a punk from the rock, not a dime till I made it again. Everybody do.
If a kid pays
unless there
a
is
penny,
any doubt as to who is behind the CFR, Dr. Quigley tells us bluntly. In New York, it was known as the Council on Foreign Relations and was a front for J.P. Morgan and Company in association with the very small American Roundtable Group. The CFR building is located on the west side of fashionable Park Avenue in New York. Although it definitely is not the center of the conspiracy, and although practically none of its members are aware of an inner control, nevertheless, it is semi-secret in its operation. It shuns publicity, and members are sworn not to disclose to the public the proceedings of its conferences and briefings. It has a formal membership of 1,400 elite personalities. In Harper's Magazine of July 1958, there is an article entitled School for Statesmen, written by CFR member Joseph Kraft. Kraft revealed that one of the chief architects for the CFR was none other than Colonel Edward Mandel House. At the time of writing this article, Mr. Kraft boasted that the CFR membership even then included the President, the Secretary of State, the Chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the board chairman of three of the country's five largest industrial corporations, two of the four richest insurance companies, and two of the three biggest banks, plus the senior partners of two of the three leading Wall Street law firms. The publisher, it is the unseen government of the United States. It's a sobering fact that the hidden power structure of international finance has exerted tremendous influence over public opinion in this country through its virtual control of higher education and major segments of mass communications. The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it. The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it. If it is possible to control the input of the human mind, then no matter how intelligent a person may be, it's entirely possible to program what he will think. And yes, it's even possible to program people to laugh at the mere mention of the word conspiracy. Pressures were so great that he was forced to abandon his investigation, and no one has dared to try it since. After a man has far more money than he possibly can spend for pleasures, what is left to excite him? For those with a ruling class mentality, the answer is power. Raw power over other humans. Money can buy such power only to a point. Beyond that, politics is the sport, and world politics is the ultimate game. For the purposes of this presentation, we have referred to those in the international power structure as capitalists. But these men are not really capitalists in the classical sense. They are merely rich socialists. They have gained their vast wealth not through honest competition and free enterprise, but by political influence and favoritism, the granting of government protection to eliminate competition, and by gigantic fraud of the money system, backed by government force. These men are striving to create a world superstate, with the expectation that from behind the scenes, they will be the ones who will rule. Not free enterprise capitalism, but big government is the conspiracy's life force. World government is its ultimate goal. But what is the best way to sell big government and then world government to a people like ours, historically devoted to an independent republic of limited powers?
Unhappy.
Hope you'll stay there to explore this with me in the dream world known as Free Radio Asheville, broadcasting live from the International Space Station. Keep it here, 107.5 FM. Time travel is possible, mental illness as a technology, metaphysical graffiti radio. I'm your host, Andrew Octopus. This is Smokey Robinson.
What?